Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A young man from Pella is playing a major role in the future of the FFA. Let's go in depth with Chandler Johnner, South Central State Vice President of the FFA. Chandler, how long have you been involved with FFA?
I've been involved with FFA for 5 years.
All right, and you grew up in a farming family?
Yep, absolutely. So my family and I, we have a farming operation over by Harvey, which is about 7 miles from here in Pella. And we run sheep and goats. There's about 30 head that we operate with.
And you enjoy that, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's been something that's been weaved in my life. I'm going to be a third-generation sheep farmer when everything's all said and done. So, it's definitely something that I'm very passionate about.
What's the sheep and goat market like?
In the state of Iowa, it's interesting. It's kind of based around kind of a niche market, you know, where you think of more cattle and pork. They have a broad base market. Sheep and goat otherwise is kind of much more for those individuals who maybe because of the religious backgrounds or people who are more looking for like a finer meat, for example. So when was the last time that you went to just a regular restaurant and you were able to get a rack of lamb? So it's something that you have to really work with and keep in perspective at all times.
It has to be a pretty good restaurant. It seems like to me it isn't on every, you know, it isn't on every menu.
No, it does have, it tends to be kind of a higher up restaurant, so like a Monarch's here in town.
Now you're a sophomore at Iowa State. Tell people about that.
Yeah, so I'm going to be a sophomore at Iowa State pursuing agricultural business as my major. I'm taking on a couple of credits this year, and I'm hoping to get a sales and marketing position career when everything's all said and done.
And dream job?
Dream job would probably be being the voice for a company. So say we go to a convention of some sort and I go speak on their behalf. I think that would be kind of my dream situation for me.
So in part, marketing, public relations, telling the company's story then?
A little bit.
That could be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and you'd have to know a lot about the product, about the company, economics, and have a background in farming.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Iowa State is providing you with the education you think that will get you there.
Oh, I know. I know they are. And they offer the experiences, too, through the different clubs and organizations that are up there. I talked about I've been involved with FFA for 5 years, and that's really kickstarted a lot of the things that I need in order to try to chase my dream job. And Iowa State kind of takes that in and says, okay, you want to do this, take a look at some of these clubs, get involved here, and it'll refine you. It really will.
And tell us a little bit about your role in the FFA now.
Sure. So I'm a state officer through the Iowa FFA Association. My official title is a South Central State Vice President. So right now in the listening area, this is the South Central District. This is where I operate. In the South Central District, there's about 44 FFA chapters and roughly 2,000 plus FFA members. I also have a hand in helping with the other five districts in the state of Iowa. So in total, we're operating at 200 plus chapters and 15,000 plus members. So I take a hand in leadership development, public relations, telling the story of agriculture. I'm a man of many hats.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Chandler Johnner, South Central State Vice President of the FFA. It's an active role. It's just not sitting on a board, quarterly meeting kind of thing.
No, there is an aspect to that, though. So we as state officers are the youth board of directors, and then there's also a senior board of directors consisting of individuals and FFA advisors from across the state. So we coexist with each other. But no, it's very much not sit in a cubicle and push paperwork. It's getting out and about.
How do you build leaders?
I think some of that comes from that individual's desire to become a leader. But it's our job as state officers to kind of foster that. We have multiple opportunities throughout the year to speak with members one-on-one, to put on different curriculum. And I think what it really amounts to, at least for me in my FFA journey, is showing those members that what you want to do, no matter what it is, there's a place for you here. And if you just take the chance and say, yeah, I'll take on a little bit of responsibility, FFA isn't going to bite you. It's the members, the advisors, the people that support, they understand they want you to get better. We build leaders by offering a cool environment and a safe environment for people to experiment and say, okay, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life, and I think I can do this. I have this certain set of abilities.
You might be a little embarrassed by this, but when did we meet? Like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, I would say so, with the radio broadcasting. What are you talking about before that?
Well, I know you did radio broadcasting mm-hmm. stuff when we worked a little bit together, but maybe it was 3 or 4 years ago. And this is the embarrassing part, is when I talked with you, like in the first 10 minutes, I knew someday you were going to be a leader. I knew that. That's what I thought. I mean, I really thought that.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
But it's like, is it something that you came to me being a leader? Is that something you think you were born with, or do you think that the FFA helped you with that, or is it a family thing? What is it?
To be honest with you, and I'm not trying to pull a politician's card on you, believe it or not, I'm not, but I think it's a compilation of those things. I think a person has to, we talked about it a little bit before, you have to know yourself, you have to understand yourself. Growing up, I was a very quiet kid. If you would have met me when I was in 6th, 7th grade, you would have had a very different perspective on me. And I understand people change as you grow up, mature, puberty, and whatever else. But I think there comes an opportunity where a person kind of starts to develop who they are as a person. And I have a wonderful family support. They've always had my back and always been encouraging me and pushing me to chase my next dream, to reach a higher rung on the ladder. And where I was really able to take that and run was when I reached high school. I graduated from Peoria Christian. So a small Christian school consisting of 50 kids, K through 8. I graduated from a class of 6 and to a class of 200 at Pella High. And I was trying my best to get my feet underneath myself at the high school. And, you know, an ag kid, a farm kid, who's kind of more of an introvert, that's not always easy. An ag class, our advisor, Mr. Jacob Bowers, took me in, though, and said, no, I believe you can do this. Come on, let's go. And just from there, it took off.
The other part of being a leader is getting people to follow.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Something that my dad's always taught me is there are going to be people who don't like you. And that's fine. Focus on the people that do like you and run with that. And I think the same thing goes with leadership. There are going to be some people who maybe don't want to agree with you, don't have the same views and perspectives as you. I'm sure you've seen it being out and about all over Marion County.
Sure.
But you have to take that all in perspective and say, I believe in what I'm standing for. And I know there are others who are going to stand with that as well. That's the tough thing about leadership, is that you can be on the highest of highs with a group of people around you, but you have to realize that there's going to be the lowest of lows as well, where you just have to hold on to your own cause and say, no, I still believe.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Chandler Johnner, South Central State Vice President of the FFA. In your role with the FFA, how do you make the argument that what the FFA does is important and for people to participate and help grow the organization and grow themselves by being a part of it?
I think when it comes to that perspective of things, you can take it on a lot of different routes. And I guess it kind of depends on a person. If you look at it statistically wise, FFA has been around for 91 years. We're going to be celebrating the 91st Iowa FFA Leadership Conference here this coming April. 91 years is a long time for an organization to be around. And if it's been able to hold that test of time for that long, then I think it's probably worth its stuff, is what I would say. And if you want to continue with the statistical route of things, 15,000 members, 200 plus chapters, it kind of seems hard to believe that that would be steering people wrong. But if you want to look at it more and maybe like an emotional side of things, I encourage you, walk around the state fair, walk around the county fair, the Marion County Fair, and just stop and talk to people. It doesn't have to be individuals my age. It can be people, you know, in their 30s, 40s, and ask them, were you an FFA member? Well, yeah, I was. And you just watch. You watch their eyes light up. So at the state fair, there we have the Ag building, and we as the association get the opportunity to have a booth set up there. And we have a whole wall of FFA jackets from all over. And you watch, and people come in, and they talk to you, and you ask them about their FFA journey, and you can see their eyes light up, and they start telling you about the different contests that you did. But those people, because there's a lot of people at the state fair, you watch, though, as there are people that are walk through the booth, and their eyes wander. Some of them are like, what's this? What's this blue jacket? And others of them, you can tell, they're searching. They're looking for their jacket. They're looking for their home chapter's jacket. They're trying to find it. FFA is something that, yeah, some of us for the final time are going to unzip the corduroy jacket. But that emotional bond and that emotional tie still stands there. In the FFA creed, the first line is, I believe in the future of agriculture. There are a lot of FFA members who, even though it's not always consciously there, the way they act, the way they do, the way they interact with people, they believe.
Over the years, I've interviewed a lot of young people. And sometimes, you know, it's sort of tough to be on the radio. But when I know I'm going to be interviewing some kids that are participants in FFA, I know it's going to be pretty easy for them. They're prepared. I mean, it's just a whole nother level of confidence. And, I mean, there are other groups, too, but we're talking about the FFA. Not every group.
Right.
But if it's FFA kids, I don't care where they're from. I know they're going to make good radio.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that a lot. And I can agree. I think FFA members are definitely very easy to talk to. Whether you're talking to a green hand member, a freshman member, or a senior of any kind, no matter what their background is, whether it is a traditional ag background, much as myself, or maybe even an urban agriculture background, you can talk to them and they'll tell their story. They're happy to share.
Is the story of American agriculture being told well at a national level?
It depends on who you ask at times. It can definitely seem that it's not, but you have to keep in mind your perspective. A lot of times we spend time on social media. Before I even came in for this interview, I was spending time on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and it's so easy sometimes to see the person who's shouting the loudest. Not necessarily the person with the greatest point, just the person who's shouting the loudest, who's getting the most likes, retweets, shares. And sometimes that's hard to combat. When in a world of agriculture, where a lot of the times the people who are the advocates for it are out working. They're out doing other things. They're involved in their community. They're spending times on school boards, out planting fields, cultivating, taking care of a new calf. It's hard sometimes to balance that. But that's where the role of the FFA comes in. That's where myself as a state officer comes in, where individuals do believe that it isn't a balanced perspective between those individuals who oppose certain portions of agriculture and those who are, you know, 100% in on agriculture. That's my job, to be a voice for those individuals who are out doing what we need as a society.
Thanks to Chandler Johnner for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.